The A-side's got hype, but people root for the underdog. There may be a main event, but don't sleep on the undercard. Welcome to the B-side, you can take your sneaks off, take you for a sweet ride. Ah, info we supply, worldwide, thanks for flipping to the B-side, yeah.
Hosted by Brian McKay.
Thank you for flipping to the B-side. I am your host, Brian B. Mac McKay, and in this episode, I am joined by Naismith and Women's Basketball Hall of Fame coach, Van Chancellor. Coach Chancellor's legendary career spanned over 4.5 decades with coaching stints at Ole Miss Women's Basketball, the Houston Comets, USA Women's National Team, and LSU. Coach has over 700 wins, 4 WNBA titles, a world championship, an Olympic gold medal, multiple Elite Eight and Sweet 16s, with a Final Four appearance with LSU in 2008. He's a 4-time SEC Coach of the Year, 3-time WNBA Coach of the Year, with countless other accolades along the way. Currently, Coach Chancellor can be found serving as the color analyst for both men's and women's basketball in the Southland Conference. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back and enjoy this episode with one of the best to ever walk the sidelines. Now, Coach, I got everything you paid me to say, right?
You left out one thing, though, Brian. Your daddy's going to kill me. I was a high school boys basketball coach at Harrison Central. When I coached Brian's daddy, David McKay, one of the greatest shooters that couldn't guard nobody in the history of high school basketball.
Hey, well, that's where I'm going first. We're going to I left that out, but yes, in the intro. But yes, we are going into the high school situation first. Now, you started... And for people that don't know, you started in high school boys basketball.
Yes, I did.
In Notsipater, then to Horn Lake, and then, like you said, at Harrison Central, where you coached my dad. And that's where you started girls basketball, right, at Harrison Central?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Do you have any good stories or anything you'd like to share from those days?
You know, Brian, I started out, I didn't want to do anything but coach boys basketball. My whole goal in life was to either be the East Central Junior College boys basketball coach or the Mississippi State assistant. I get to Harrison Central, and I was not a good math teacher, and I didn't enjoy teaching. And so the principal asked me, would I take girls basketball? So I'm coaching boys basketball, and I go to Harrison Central High School, and I have a starting five. And I go, and for some reason, I checked the academic progress of my team. And I had a kid that had been in there 5 years. And I had to declare him ineligible. Walking from the principal's office to the gym, here's my thoughts. Oh, my gosh, I am going to have to start that David McKay, who can't guard nobody. But I didn't realize what a great shooter he was. And I started there, and I loved it. But we had some success in girls basketball. We were fortunate enough to win 2 overalls. And Ole Miss wanted to interview me, and I had no interest in coaching girls basketball at that time. I really didn't want to. And I get up there, and they tell me I'm not going to have to clean up the gym, and I'm not going to have to teach school. And I was going to ask for $20,000, and I didn't want to price myself out. And I lowered it to $18,500 for me not to teach a class. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven, being honest with you. And then right off the bat, ladies and gentlemen, I got to coach Brian's mother. Now, she was right opposite of daddy. Mom could guard, could rebound, could play, do everything. Now, David McKay could shoot the eyes out of it, but Connie McKay could do a lot of things. And I was fortunate to be able to coach both of his parents as a high school and then his mom at Ole Miss.
Well, let's go to your time at Ole Miss. Let's start with your first year there. I know you have some good stories because you've told me many over the years. Give me one or two good stories from that first season at Ole Miss.
We went to Ole Miss, and they had just hired Steve Sloan to coach football. So they were so into football, they gave me no direction. I'm coming out of high school, and we go to Miami to play in the Orange Bowl Classic. I'll never – the great running back from Oklahoma, Williams, was up there. We met him. But we go into the airport, me, and I had a graduate assistant. He had not been as many places as I had been, which was very few. And we get there and we tipped the guy. We had 90 bags and we tipped the guy $15, and he threw the money down on the street corner because he said, "Hey boys, country boys, you're about $80 short." So my first lesson was learning how to tip going on the road with players. And then the second thing is, on the same trip, I had two freshmen. I run off and left in the hotel room and forgot I'd left them. I mean, guys, let me tell you now, you talk about a high school coach, ill-equipped. I could handle the coaching, but all the things on the other side. But that's when I met Peggy Gillum. And Peggy Gillum, just remember this, Brian, there was no Peggy Gillum, no Jennifer Gillum, and Eugene O'Connors. There ain't no Van Chancellor. You can book that one, Dano.
Absolutely. And let's fast forward a little bit, a few years, and you had back-to-back, because you just brought up two of the people that were on those teams, back-to-back Elite Eights in 85 and 86. Let's hear a good story from those days.
We gathered, that was a special team. And I'll always believe this, Brian, that my mother passed away unexpectedly of cancer in 85. And I think it didn't happen. I coached in a fog, and I had Jennifer Gillum. I had a lot of great players, Mel Brooks, Alicia Scott, and we got beat at Western Kentucky 3 points. The next year we went to Texas. We didn't have quite as good a team with Jennifer, a smaller team, and got beat 3 points there. So we lost back-to-back on the road at other team home court. But I'm so proud of what they did. And then in 92, we had a team that went to the Elite Eight that I thought was the most overachieving team I've ever coached.
Absolutely. That was Cynthia Autry and Jackie Martin.
Right after Autry. That team had Clara Jackson.
That's right.
And yep. My daughter was on that team. Jackie Martin, Charlotte Banks.
Banks, yes.
Banks is, oh, Lord. Clutch player, had no conscience, could hit the shot at the end of the game like you had never seen.
Hey, I'm down here with her, and I see her coaching all the time. She still has no conscience.
Yep. No doubt in my mind.
All right. Let's fast forward just a little bit. Let's go to 1997. You make the decision to leave Oxford to head to the WNBA level, and you're going to get – now – I'll let you tell the story about how you were hired in Houston, but let's do that. Let's let you go ahead and tell that story, how you were hired.
Okay. I'm coaching at Ole Miss, and I wanted another challenge. We were ready to move, and it was a tough move. Renee was having our first grandchild, and I had a lot of friends. But I went and interviewed with the owner of the Houston Comets, Mr. Les Alexander, and it was a horrible interview, just as bad as it can get. And they dropped off of me. They tried to hire everybody in the country but me. And they got down to Thursday before the draft, and they got desperate. Carol Dawson, the general manager, hired me. At my press conference, they asked me, they said, "Did it bother you that you were absolutely the Comets' last choice?" And I said, "Heck no, I went in my mother-in-law's top 25. I tell this story. I called Dad. My dad was a cotton farmer, 78 years old. And I said, "Dad, what do you think about me going to Houston and coaching in the WNBA? He said, "Son, don't be the biggest fool in the state of Mississippi. That league ain't going to make. You're happy in Oxford. You got more friends." And I'm telling you now, when you get a little older, you're going to realize now having friends are the single most important thing you can have in your life. And so I said, "Dad, you're right. I think I'm going to turn this job down." They finally got around to offering it to me. And he said, "And by the way, boy," he said, "how much money are they going to pay us? I said, "Dad, it's going to double my salary." And he said, "Son, with your personality, you can make a lot of friends in Houston, Texas." I'll never forget him saying that. And I moved to Houston. And Brian, I went to my first practice. And lo and behold, there is Cynthia Cooper. Oh. And I told Peggy Gillum. Peggy left Ole Miss and went with me, thank goodness. And I get there. And I look up and I say, Coach Gillum, Tennessee had the best players for years. Mm-hmm. We got the best player now. There's nobody in this league better than this woman. Then we were fortunate on the right before the draft, Tina Thompson come into it. Cheryl was having a baby. So now I get the first year we got Tina and Cynthia and Jeanette Darkane. The next year and Kim Perrott. Then we add Cheryl Swoops the second year. So ladies and gentlemen, you can see why we won a few championships. We had some pretty good players at that time.
Now, going back to when you were hired, this is just a quick story. You know, I spent a year at Louisiana Tech as the Dobo. And while there, I spent had many conversations with one Leon Barmore. And he found out that I was good friends with you. And, yeah. And that's when he just loved coming by and seeing me after that. And the first thing he told me when he found out was, you know, your boy Chancellor would have never gotten a job in Houston if I'd have said yes.
There ain't no doubt about that. Every time I see Leon Barmore, I want to hug him. I mean, and say, man, I'm so, he turned them down. There's no doubt. But wait a minute. He and about 20 more turned them down. Let's get that straight. Yes. But he was their number one choice. That's who they wanted. And thank goodness he didn't take the job, because it's been one of the greatest rides. And the most pro coaching just suited me to a T. I didn't have to recruit anymore. I didn't have any more summer camps to run. And I was just drafting players. And that's what I like to do. And I like to coach. And that was fine.
You brought up Kim Perrott. I know you have a good story about training camp and not even really wanting her at first.
We don't draft a point guard. We don't take a point guard anywhere. So I'm desperate. So I send out a call nationwide. I have 68 people to come to St. Thomas High School, and there's Kim Perrott. Right off the bat, I have people around the gym helping me. I got 13 of us trying to involve a lot of people. And I didn't like Kim's game. I mean, none. She was just too flamboyant, threw the ball everywhere, shot at everything. So we would go into a room after a session, have a session, go into a room, and we would vote. You had to get 7 votes to stay. So Perrott got 13 votes to stay, 1 to cut her. Well, the person that wanted to cut her was old Van Chancellor. Well, after the second session, it was 12 to 2. The second person, Kevin Cook, wanted a job with me. So he found out how I voted, and he voted with me. He didn't want to cut her. He just voted with me to try to keep the job. And so, but eventually, they talked me into keeping her. I go to training camp. I don't like her at training camp. I go to Westside Tennis Club. I don't like her. So I go and try to get Patty Joe Hedges and different people. I fly them in there. And she says to me, she said, Coach, you tried everything you can to cut me. But if you'll ever make up your mind to go with me, I'm going to win you a championship. Well, that still didn't go with her. And then we couldn't beat New York. We just could not. And we went to New York and they beat us again. And afterwards, I just made up my mind. I called her in and I said, Perrott, you are now the starting point guard. There's no more alternating. And she said, I don't mean this bad. I'm glad you finally had enough that you were smart enough to start the best player. I'll never forget that, Brian. But we had a wonderful relationship. And when she passed away, that was one of the saddest days, not of my professional life, of my own life. She and I were as close as any player I've ever coached.
Wow. Yep. Do you have I know you won 4 of them, so there has to be a good story somewhere in those 4 championships on just with the big 3, anything you want to tell.
Well, and the second championship, we go to Phoenix, and my former player, Jennifer, she gets the ball. We're up 1. She gets the ball on the low block, and I just assumed we knew to double her, and I didn't. They threw her the ball, and she beats me. Right? That's day. So we come back to Houston. We're down 12 with 7 minutes and 12 seconds to go. I called timeout, and I said, we're not subbing anymore. We're going to play. We're going to play. You just not coming out. Don't even look over here. Well, at that time, Jennifer and Michelle Timms always says that that's their ring because their coach substituted, and Tim said, and I don't know why she substituted Jennifer Gillum. She ain't going to guard nobody hard enough to waste any energy. She could have played all day because Jennifer was an offensive machine. I mean, we come back in front of the loudest crowd I think's ever been at the old Compaq Center, and we get in there. This is, then we're in the huddle now with 4 minutes to go, and Kim finally just jumps in there right in front of them. She says, "You're either going to listen to Coach, or we're going to get beat right now, and Phoenix is going to celebrate on our court." And I just wanted to hug her. Then we came back, and then we beat them on that night. But the two sleepless nights I had was Teresa Weatherspoon against the Liberty for the third championship makes a half-court shot. I don't know what I'm going to tell the team. What are you going to tell the team after that tied up the series 1-1? I didn't sleep a wink that night, Brian. Not didn't sleep any. Got up, went to we always had a shoot around. I don't care what happened. We had a shoot around. And I still didn't know. And I always carried them in the locker room if I was really serious. And I walked in, and Cynthia Cooper said, "Why in the world are we in here? New York can't beat us two times in a row. Let's go." And I said, I don't need to say anymore. And we players have a lot of great influence that a coach sometimes can't have. And we won those championships. And then the fourth one, LA beat us all three times that year. And we found that Kevin Cook made a suggestion, don't guard on the outside one of their players. Let her beat us from outside. And we did that. And when we won that championship, I didn't think we had a prayer. Now, those third, fourth, I was relieved. I was, and then the Sunday night after we, on the third, I'm kind of confused right now, but on the third, I sleep a wink that night. So I spent championship nights either so happy that I'd won, I didn't sleep none of those nights.
Well, as we'll go back to me working at Louisiana Tech, I worked for Teresa Weatherspoon. And I remember, I tell people all the time, I went to the interview and we spent about 3 minutes of the 45 minutes in that interview talking about the actual job. The rest of the time was me and her just telling stories. And one of the stories I told her was I loved her forever for making that half-court shot because me and my family were able to come to Houston and watch you guys win it the next night.
Well, hey, she always says, "Hey, Coach, you brag about my shot. You say it's everywhere, but you won the championship, and the shot don't matter to me." That's what I liked about Teresa Weatherspoon. She was all about winning a championship.
Yeah. While you were in Houston, I think it was 2002, you were named the coach of the women's national team. And you guys won a world championship in China, and then 2 years later won the gold medal in Athens. Do you have any good stories from those times?
Brian, I didn't even think there was a Chinaman's chance. I thought I had a better chance of getting the Commerce job than I did of being the World Games coach or the Olympic job, okay? I didn't think they'd hire a man, being honest with you, and I sure didn't think it would be me. And so we get the team, and I get to pick the team. And we just have a great team. We go all over this world, and I have one problem. Not one thing do we do. I can remember we go to China. And I'd not travel much extensively in those places. And Lisa Leslie called me into her room and she said, "Coach, come in here. I got something to tell you. Don't tell nobody." I said, "What is it?" She said, "I got us a bag of food. I know you can't eat this food over here, but I ain't got enough for everybody on the team." So Lisa Leslie, one of the best players in the world, if not the best player in the world, was bringing, that's just to bringing me something to eat, peanut butter, nuts and peanuts and all of that. When you got your best player taking care of you, it was just amazing. And I passed out candy over there. Oh, Lord, they would fight over a piece of candy in China. And we beat the Russians for the finals and won that championship. And then I didn't think much about it. Then they called me and told me we were going to be the Olympic coach. And I cried that day. For a boy from Nantawarrior, Mississippi, to be the Olympic coach. And we went everywhere and went to Athens, Greece. The toughest decision I ever had to make in coaching, Brian. Don Staley, my point guard, got two none calls, horrible calls, two fouls, and I dropped behind 6 points, and I got everybody hollering me to put her back in, but I didn't. I stayed till halftime. I had her mad at me and everybody mad at me because I didn't play her. She goes out in the second half and gets me 15 points, and we win the gold. Now, I'm going to tell you this. There's nothing any better than representing your country and winning a gold medal.
Absolutely not. Yes. Then a couple of years later, you retire from WNBA and thought maybe at the time that your coaching career was done. Then 2007. A call comes in from LSU. Tell us about that.
Well, Christy Sides played for me at Ole Miss, was on the staff, and she said, there's going to be a major announcement. I think you're going to have an opportunity to come to LSU. I said, whoa, I'm not interested. I'm not going back to college coaching. I'm not going back to recruiting. And Sides said, hey, coach, don't be crazy. They're going to give you a 5-year deal. I said, a 5-year deal going to guarantee you all 5 years. I said, Sides, you tell them I'll take the job. I'll take the job right now when they offer the 5-year deal. I go to LSU, and we got one of the greatest teams in college basketball here. Sylvia Fowles, Duke Cheney, team that had everybody returned that had been to two Final Fours. And I get that job, and a lot of my Ole Miss buddies thought I was a traitor. They thought that I had left, gone to LSU. But I told them, I said, guys, if Ole Miss had paid me what LSU did, I wouldn't have gone to LSU. And I got there, and it was a wonderful ride. I enjoyed the team accepted me, and they were all seniors. They could have, but I didn't change much now. I changed very little. I let them travel the way they've been traveling, and we got beat on one offensive rebound for the national championship. That game has stayed with me since 2008. That game will ever leave me is when I pass away and I'm no longer on this earth.
Yeah. Well, you just recently saw one of those players that you mentioned, Sylvia Fowles, be inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame. How was that experience?
Brian, I'm sorry. Great rebounder, great defensive player, and a good offensive player, and is a hard worker. And one, she's as easy to coach as Eugenia and Jennifer. Great players are easy to coach because let me tell you why. They're easy for me to coach because I'm going to get them the ball. This ain't an equal opportunity. I'll tell you that right now. I don't believe in everybody getting the score. Never have. That's why I doubt if I could coach today. Both of my children said I'd be fired by Christmas, by the way. I'm too demanding.
Well, as good of a player as Sylvia was, she's an even better person. Like, every time I see her, it's like we just saw each other the day before. It's, you know, she's just that nice. Let's see. Let's go on. Okay, it's time. It's time to play a game. A game that you and I know well, and let me explain it to everyone listening and watching this. This game is called Pass Me That Napkin. And this is the game that Coach and I have played for years, all dating back to the time in Houston. I remember every restaurant we ever went into, Coach would have napkins, and he would have a felt tip pen. And we would draft, we would do our top five. Some days it'd be best players in the league. Today, on this edition of Pass Me That Napkin, we are going to choose five players each from the pool of players that coached at the professional level. So it can be any Houston Comet, any All-Star game, the U.S. national team, any of those pools we're going to pull from. And Coach, since this is my show, I'm going to let you go first.
Oh, I wanted you to go first, so you wouldn't put me on the spot with all my former players.
That's fine. That's fine. Okay. We can do it that way. That's fine. Hey, I was gonna be nice because you know I always went first.
You
before,
take so. First. Who you want?
Well, you know I'm gonna be selfish and I'm gonna pick Jennifer Gillum.
Where did I coach? Oh, yes, right. I coached her.
All star. Yep.
Yeah, all stars.
Yes.
Okay. Well, now you still didn't let me off the spot. I got three great players here. I'm going to take Cheryl and Cynthia.
All right, Cheryl and Cynthia.
Down now. I'm taking Cheryl and Cynthia. Or do I get one? If I only get one, that's fine.
No, you go. You go one, you go two. I'll get two now, and you get one next. So here's my two. I'm going to go. Yeah, you made that hard because I sure was going to get one of those, but I wanted to see who you picked first. Let me get, I'll take Tina Thompson. I'll just go three big. Give me Yolanda Griffin.
Yolanda Griffin?
Right, now you get one.
I get one player?
Yep, you get one.
I'm taking Lisa Leslie.
Lisa Leslie, yes, indeed.
Lisa Leslie.
And for the people watching, understand that I gave him that. I knew Lisa was going to be next.
Okay. All right. So he didn't give me nothing, boys and girls. Let's get that straight right now. He ain't never give me anything.
All right. For my next pick, you know what? I'm going back to the comments. Janet Arcane. All right, now you get two, and then I'll finish up with my last pick.
What'd you pick?
I got Janet Arcane for mine.
I'm going to take Diana Taurasi.
Yep.
And I need, and I'm going to take, did I coach Lauren Jackson in the All-Star game?
You did.
I'll take Lauren Jackson and Diana Taurasi.
All right. And for my last pick, I need a guard, so I'm going to go Sue Bird.
That's a good pick. That's a really good pick.
All right. So here is the final total. Coaches team, Cheryl Swoops, Cynthia Cooper, Lisa Leslie, Diana Taurasi, and Lauren Jackson. You know my mind is not right if I let him get all five of those. My team, Jennifer Gillum, Tina Thompson, Yolanda Griffith, Sue Bird, and Jeanette Arcane.
I'm going to name you the five players on the professional level. You want my all-time five?
Let's go.
Taurasi at the point, Cynthia and Cheryl at the wings, Tina Thompson at the four, and Lisa Leslie at the five.
What about
that five?
I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you on that five. All right, here's where Coach gets to have a little fun. Since I made fun of him in the intro, I told him last night when we talked that I was going to let him do this. I want you to tell the world the Michael Jordan story that you and I share.
Ladies and gentlemen, as I share this story, this is not one of my proudest moments as a human, as an adult, as a coach. If you want to think after I tell you this story that I am one of the sorriest human beings that's ever walked, you can't, and I'll agree with you. So, I'm a 38-year-old coach at Ole Miss at camp. I got Brian McKay, 6, 7, 8 years old the first time. So we every day at 1 o'clock, I spoke to the campers at the Ted Smith Coliseum. Well, every day about 12:45, Brian and his running mate Drew that would play me and whoever was there, maybe Michelle, my GA, and we would play, and it would be hotly contested. And Jennifer Gillum or Peggy Gillum would make a call. It beat me now. So this goes on the first year. Second year, same thing. They come out there, blow the whistle, either call me for walking or fouling or something, whatever it was. And Brian and his buddy would win. Well, Brian loved that. And he would go to the state tournaments with his daddy and everybody. Everywhere he went, somebody would say, "Hey, Brian, did you beat Coach again this year?" And he said, "Yes." So he loved that. Well, I don't know what caused me to do this. The game is tied up. Jennifer's got the whistle. I got my back to the basket, and she handed me the ball. And before she could say anything, I turned and drilled it. I mean, drilled about a 25-footer for the win. Well, buddy, the camp booed. Everybody there. I hurt little Brian McKay's feelings. It just hurt him so bad. I can't describe. But I didn't know that. I didn't know it hurt him that bad. So it hurt him really bad. So everywhere I go, Peggy Gillum ain't never said nothing bad to nobody. She said, "Coach, you did wrong today. You shouldn't have done that." I said, "It looked like I'm pretty bad." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Every camper here is talking about you." So, Brian, so I go to the dorm. My wife's running the dorm, and Betty meets me at the door. She said, "I heard what you did." Said, I can't believe you did that. You ought to quit going to church. That ain't right." So I go to David and I said, Brian's dad, I said, David, I think I got a way to kind of situate this thing. When I leave here, I'm going to be fortunate to go to Nike camp in the summertime. And Michael Jordan's there and he's pretty good at taking a picture. I'll take a picture with me and Brian and get it and send it to you. I mean, me and Michael and send it to y'all. And I thought that was great, man. I really thought I'd made things right. So about an hour later, Matt comes to me and he says, hey, coach, said, let me tell you what Brian, he kind of was stumbling around. He said, let me tell you what Brian asked me. I thought he's going to be happy. I thought I'd really hit a home run. Was there any way that you could kind of stand separate from Michael? And I said, why does he want that? He said, so he can cut you out of the picture. Yes. Now, so yeah. I did get him the picture, though. I'll promise you that. And now, today, there's about five things, maybe 10, that I ain't proud of at all. This might be number one on the list. That a 38-year-old man beat a boy that he was, yes. I'm really sorry, Brian. I'll apologize here 50 years later, buddy, whatever it is.
Now, Coach, you know what? That story has lived the test of time. And like I tell people all the time, as good a storyteller as Van Chancellor is, the only story that he has never missed a single detail is that story right there. You have always told that one perfectly.
Hey, Brian, sometimes if you're a good storyteller, you can't confuse facts and fiction. You understand that now?
I got you.
That's just a fact of life.
Well, Coach, as you just got through saying, that's one of your top five worst moments. If I were to list a group of five of people that I would love to start this podcast experience with, you're right there at the top of it, Coach. And I'm so glad and thankful that you decided to come on today.
Well, Brian, I want to say this to your family, to you. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's a family, I started out as a high school coach. I went to Harrison Central at 28 years old. I was fortunate enough to coach his mom and daddy. I never had one bit of problems out of neither one of them. And I got to then know their son, who has brought as much joy. He came out here and worked with me some that first summer. And he's always, the McKays have been as much a part of my family as my own family at times. And then to the McKay family, just thank y'all for letting Betty and I and my family come in touch with your family, Brian.
Absolutely, Coach. Same back, right back to you.
All right, buddy.
All right. Thank you so much, Coach.
All right. Thank you.